Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, Season 6, Episode 91. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com. My co-host David Todd is flying back from Bradenton, Florida today. He's been down there doing some shows and covering the Pirates. He will hopefully be back with me on Friday. Of course, with him sitting out back in the co-host chair on this Monday to kick off your week, Alex Cazora. Alex, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Dave. Happy Pi Day. May your math always be accurate.
Oh, three point what, 1.6?
1.4. Okay, so your math may never be that accurate. Never mind.
Exactly. That's why I have to make sure I keep my shoes off at all times there. 3.14, that's right. I never knew how to use that number. That's probably not surprising to several of you. Wow, what a first week of free agency, Alex. In my opinion, we knew a lot of what was going to go down a day and a half before it actually went down with the start of free agency on Wednesday. Since then, I don't know, it wasn't as maybe active as what I thought it would be. There of course, were several signings around the league. But I think this week, we'll start to see more of the middle to lower tier names start coming off the board, and probably by the end of this week, things will really kind of grind to a halt. You know, you'll see a lot of lower price players come off the board. Unfortunately, we have to start off this show with us talking about Martavis Bryant. And in case any of our listeners have been hiding, underneath a rock or been away from a computer, it looks like Martavis Bryant is facing a year suspension, and it doesn't sound like he tested positive, for marijuana or drugs during a drug test. It just appears as though he skipped it completely, and he last missed four games at the start of last season. Another strike against him you would have thought would have led to a 10-game suspension, but now he's facing a year suspension. Makes you wonder kind of what happened in between, right?
Yeah, and this is such a difficult issue to talk about, Dave, and obviously we're all extremely disappointed in the news and to know the potential that Martavis Bryant has shown and the asset that he can be and the receiver he can be. Now, I don't want to sit here and totally trash the guy. You know, I'm not going to totally trash a guy I've never met, never talked to before. I don't know his whole story. You want to hope and hope that he gets the help that he needs, but I mean it was shocking in a sense.
I wasn't shocked.
Yeah, I mean in a sense of just, you know, you just didn't know when it was going to happen, and then to see the jump to the whole year, you're like, what is going on? But knowing his history, the idea was that this could happen again, and if it happened again, it would be a much lengthier ban than a month. And so it's just man. It's awful.
And what we know is just what's out there. And in fact, the Steelers have not commented on this yet. They're not going to comment on it until the league, you know, makes it official, which they haven't yet. But even so, I think representation of Martavis Bryant have already said they're going to appeal whatever comes down, you know, is handed down to them. Like I said, I'm not overly surprised about this. I mean, I think you're really starting to see now more than ever why Martavis was on the board in the fourth round and why the Steelers got him when they got him. There had been some rumors about him having some issues, of course, with marijuana while at Clemson. He has, you know, since this story broke, there's been a report that he's entering rehab for depression. There's still a lot that we don't know about this. Probably a lot more of that than what we do know about it. It obviously would be a huge blow for the Steelers. I think at best the Steelers can hope for is a 10-game suspension at this point, right?
Yes, yes.
And be prepared for quite possibly a year. Now the question becomes, how far in advance did the Steelers know this? And, if they did, and one would think they did, kudos for them getting Darius Hayward Bay signed to a 3-year deal before the start of free agency. And it makes you wonder, to some degree, how much it played in the decision to go out immediately and sign tight end Ladarius Green.
Yeah, I think it had some sort of influence. I think it's pretty clear from the reports and just kind of thinking about it that the team knew that this was coming for Bryant, and so that compelled them to make sure they locked down DHB and to go out there and get Ladarius Green, because, like we said before, Green was such a kind of just off the mold kind of move, and it was getting that big athletic tight end, and that was so unlike the Steelers. Now Green has done some similar things as a blocker, but it was just such a radical move for them, and now it kind of makes a little bit more sense. The picture is a little bit more clear now, knowing what we know about Martavis Bryant.
Here's the thing, though: the Steelers have enough depth now that I'm not going to beat around the bush. Not having Martavis Bryant's definitely going to hurt, especially in the big play category. Mm-hmm. But with that said, they have the talent and the depth already on the roster to survive this.
Right. Yeah. No, they absolutely do. I mean, Sammy Coates will be expected to elevate his game, and he should. We got that little glimpse of it last year in the divisional game against Denver. You still have Darius Hayward Bay. I feel like not enough people are talking about what he was able to do last year and to create some big, plays vertically, and is the best blocking receiver on this team. And then you have some interesting guys, kind of fighting for a roster spot: Eli Rogers, Shaquem Phillips. I think they'll probably draft the receiver because it's just kind of what they do. And so you get that guy to compete as well. It's obviously a big blow. There's no dancing around that. But, this wide receiver is one of the strongest positions the team had. So if there is one place you can absorb a blow, it's that wide receiver.
I think, the point about DHB, look, this guy's not going to go to the Pro Bowl. He's going to occasionally drop a pass or two for you. But during those four games five games that Martavis missed, four due to the suspension and one, we think was a minor knee injury before Martavis was actually activated back to the roster from the reserve suspended list. He caught, 17 passes? That sounds about right? During those first five games?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, the big gap was the week one drop against New England, but there were a lot of positive plays in there, too.
Yeah, he had two touchdowns during that span. I mean, if you can get 3 to 4 catches a game out of him, with an explosive play, that's pretty much what Martavis was giving you. Now, of course, Martavis could give you that end-around kind of stuff, the threat out in open space. But this isn't as crushing of a blow, in my opinion, as some might be trying to make it out to be. Now, with that said, they're definitely going to have Marcus Wheaton step up. Who else? I mean, most definitely Sammy Coates is going to have to take that next step. Mm-hmm. We've talked for quite a while about Eli Rogers. It really now gives him a chance to make the roster. And as you kind of alluded to there, it probably wouldn't be totally shocking now that this team has it's been made official that they will get a 6th-round compensatory draft pick for the loss of Bryce McCain last offseason to see them draft a wide receiver in, say, the 6th round.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of receivers in the back end that I kind of like, and it's just what they do. I mean, we've said the statistic a bunch of times. Under Tomlin, has taken a receiver in every draft but two. You want to add competition, even if you have a good roster. You want to add more bodies to that. Constantly look towards the future. Just knowing that, you know, Wheaton is going into his last year, and you don't know what's going to happen there, and you want to, you know, make sure that you have a good, you know, semblance of depth. So there are options. It's obviously terrible, and it's not going to try to sugarcoat the situation. But from a team perspective, you know, you have some talent there still.
Contractually, people probably wondering. I talked to Joel Corey about this. Obviously, if Martavis was suspended for a full year, his contract would toil, meaning that the year wouldn't count. He would remain under contract with the Steelers, assuming they did not cut him through the 2018 season. As far as the bonus proration goes, Joel Corey told me that the bonus proration for 2016 would remain on the books. Initially, from some of my reading, I thought it wouldn't, but that's what Joel told me there. So, you know, we don't expect the Steelers to cut Martavis, right?
I don't, and I don't think that would be the best thing for Bryant or even the team right now. I would, you know, he can go through training camp, he can go through the preseason, and then I would expect him to go to the reserve suspended list for the 2016 season.
I would expect the same, and it's unfortunate. The kid really needs to get some help. Hopefully, it's just he's so talented, man. He, you know, that's the thing. This kid has been compared, several comparisons to Randy Moss. I think it's fair with some aspects of his game, most definitely. We saw the catch that he made last year against the Bengals. We saw him in the open field. His route running had improved some. It just really is a shame, and hopefully he can get himself fixed. And we'll see what how this the time frame plays out overall with the suspension. Let's see what else we got going on. Kelvin Beachum busy making the rounds. I think he's going to visit with the Jaguars on Monday. He's already, I think, supposedly met with the Jets and the Seahawks. No news there. You would still think the Steelers are after him as well, but the Steelers are being proactive on the backside. They're bringing in quite a few tackles, aren't they?
Yeah, what do we have so far? We have Russell Okung in Seattle. We have Ryan Harris, who's been in Denver and I think Kansas City, Chris Hairston in San Diego, and then the interest in re-signing Beachum. So it's been a lot of big guys coming in getting out the Steelers facility.
Are you surprised? Not so much that they're bringing in free agent tackles, but kind of the name recognition type guys.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I thought that there would be, I think, a little bit more trust and confidence in Villanueva to be the left tackle, and kind of based on some of the moves they're making now with the interest in re-signing Beachum and especially bringing in Russell Okung, because if you figure that Okung comes in, he's going to be the starting left tackle because he's going to get paid like one. I think Harris and Hairston would be more of the competition / swing tackle kind of role. I to be clear, I never called Villanueva great. Some people, there's a great debate on some of the comments in Steelers Depot about Villanueva. I was as critical of him as anybody at points last year. That first half against the Cincinnati Bengals was probably the worst half by an offensive tackle I've ever seen. But I thought the progression throughout the year in that last kind of month was fantastic, and I thought there would be confidence about what he could do in the future, not just what he did, given that he was got thrown into the fire, kind of a first year playing the position in the NFL, actually out there on the field. Okung's had his injury issues, and the money's going to be up there a little bit, so I am a little surprised by it.
So people are accusing you of calling Villanueva great? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't think it's me necessarily. I just think there's a lot of discussion about, you know, of who Villanueva is and who he isn't. And I think that people are just looking at, you know, what he did last year in a vacuum and not looking at if he can improve upon that. And I think the fact that if he had a whole offseason to be the starting left tackle, to really refine his craft, I mean, just treat last year like a rookie year. And from a guy that's really spent only the last 2 years playing offensive line. I mean, he did it in college, but he was away from the position for so long playing defensive line in Philadelphia and things like that. So I think the potential for growth and to get better is really big with Villanueva. I don't know exactly where that ceiling is at, but I know there's a much higher ceiling than what he showed this year.
And I think, you know, and I've kind of been along the same lines with you all through last season. I mean, look, it was kind of a train wreck with him starting off in that first start against Kansas City. But I thought he progressively got better as the season won. Don't tell me the Steelers can't win with Villanueva.
I mean, they because they did.
They did, you know, and they didn't lose the playoff game against the Denver Broncos because of Villanueva. With that said, I think he does have some upside still left in him. On top of that, I'm not so, and I kind of expressed this to you via a direct message on Twitter on Sunday. I'm not so sure that this dog and pony show with these three tackles, you know, getting it out there that they're bringing them in for visits isn't just that, a dog and pony show to kind of help maybe along with, okay, Kelvin, you're going to make some free agent visits out there. Well, you better hurry up and really decide what you want to do, because we're going to parade in a couple of guys here for your position as well too. That's what I'm thinking. This is more negotiations and plus on top of it, you know, getting a field look. I mean, checking out Okung and knowing where he is at physically. Let's face it, Ryan Harris Harrison. The kid's name out of Harrison are not premier guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're named guys, but they're not what I would consider premier guys. Making sure you know. Let me ask you. Let's throw Okung out of this, and you're down to Ryan Harris and Harrison. Are you gonna sign those guys to come in and start? Over Villanueva?
Right. Like I said, I think they would be more, you know, competition and probably more likely to end up going into that swing role. I think the Steelers would still open things up in the interest of competition, because when you do that, you get the best out of guys. And of course, Villanueva is going to be hyper-competitive, and hopefully, you know, Harris or Harrison would be as well. But they would not be the slam dunk, okay, he's going to be the starting left tackle, the way that Okung would be if he gets signed.
And I know Matthew's written about this on the site, you know, maybe, and I see it's easy to kind of go this angle that, okay, well, maybe the Steelers don't trust Villanueva as much as maybe most of us think. But with that said, who's behind Marcus Gilbert and Villanueva on the depth chart? Maybe that's the guy that nobody trusts right now.
Mm, yeah, that's a great point. And the other point I think to consider, because I know I get a lot of questions about, you know, Alex, why is this team bringing in so many tackles? Why are they not bringing in defensive backs and focusing on the defense? And I think the answer is really simple. And it just comes down to, you use free agency, and this is basically what Kevin Colbert said. This isn't my interpretation. But you use free agency to address where the draft is weak. And the tackle class this year is really, really poor. It's got some names at the top. But once you get out of the first round and early second, I mean, it just drops off. There's just nobody there. And so you really can't address it in the draft. So you have to go through free agency, and I think that's why the interest is so heavy.
I would agree. And you know, kind of sewing up that position, like I said, I've never been a Mike Adams fan. Even though they got him in the second round, I didn't like the pick back when they made that, coming off the back injury. He might not ever, you know, make play another snap for the Steelers. And more than anything else, I just don't think you consider him a lock right now to be your swing tackle in 2016 either. So it'll be interesting to watch this play out. I got to be honest, I still like the chances of them re-signing Kelvin Beachum. And I kind of threw this out to people on Twitter Sunday saying, okay, here's your Sunday homework. Where are the possible places that Beachum could land and be the starting left tackle? I mean, there's not many teams out there, right?
Well, I mean, he's got a lot of interest, and I don't know how serious it is. I don't know if it's a money issue or a starting issue or starting a left tackle issue. I mean, you know, good left tackles are hard to find, and I think Beecham is a good one. But I got to disagree a little bit with you, Dave. I think that this isn't a for show to try to get Beecham to make a decision quicker, because the report is they offered a contract to Okung. And, I mean, you don't offer a contract, and then if you're trying to get somebody else to make the decision, I mean, if you're trying to make that girl jealous, you ask her to lunch, don't ask her to prom. You know, you don't have that serious of a commitment, so... I mean, I think they would be open to bringing Beecham back, but I think they are definitely exploring life without Kelvin Beecham because of all the interest he's getting everywhere else.
Yeah, but I think the Steelers hand out one-year veteran minimum contracts as parting gifts, you know, offers as parting gifts.
You think that's you think that's the offer to Okung is a veteran minimum deal? No way.
I'm just saying that's the MO. Look, we're going to give you this offer just in case you want to mess up and sign it. I'm being funny there, but I can't see where the offer to Okung was, I guess the correct word is serious in nature.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't their final offer, but I'm just saying, I mean, you make an offer to somebody like that. I mean, you know, they could sign it.
And right. And how would that affect negotiations if it was a one-year vet? we don't know what the offer is, you know.
It's not a one-year vet deal, though.
but I, you know where I'm going with this. I don't believe it was a
serious
a competitive offer.
Yeah. Yeah, and the tricky part with Okung is he's coming off shoulder surgery from the last playoff game against Carolina, and I think his timetable was it would take about 5 months for him to recover, and I think we're only 6 weeks into the rehab, so that might kind of muddy things up a little bit trying to negotiate a deal with a guy that's got a bum shoulder right now.
And his tape last year wasn't, last 2 years really, from what I remember, wasn't great.
Yeah, and he's never played 16 games in his career, and I know a lot of people like Tom Cable, but there's a lot of smart offensive line guys on Twitter that think that Seattle line was really poorly coached, so I think Munchak, even more so than usual, could maximize what he could get out of Russell Okung. But
as far as where Beecham could land, look, we've heard the names already. New York, we've heard Seattle, we've heard Jacksonville. I mean, if his doors haven't been blown off yet with an offer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what's he? It might end up being his best interest to sign a one-year deal to rebuild his market value.
Right, and that's what we've kind of said all along. And here's the thing with Beecham is that we can guess about where he's going to go. But knowing what we know about Beecham, I mean, he is a very spiritual and religious man, so he could just make a decision like that if he gets kind of a sign one night. I mean, he's a guy that could just – you don't really know where he's going to end up, because I think he's just a guy that's going to just let kind of faith kind of take him to a team.
Yeah, but deep down inside, you know he wants to stay in Pittsburgh.
I'm sure he does, but
I mean, and I'm talking if it's close. I mean, are you really going to make a jump for $1 million
mm-hmm.
A year, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Instead of staying with the devil that you know,
right.
Kind of thing. That's why I just kind of have a, you know, I'm getting a, I shouldn't say, I'm getting a better feeling that he will ultimately re-sign with Pittsburgh. And I think we're going to know by what, the end of this week, right? You would think?
I mean, yeah, once that first domino falls, once he's free, just free agency in general, once these guys start signing, I mean, it's going to be crazy. So yeah, hopefully by this week, kind of things will be a lot clearer.
And as far as we know, Okung might wind up re-signing with Seattle,
mm-hmm.
You know. So, and I think that's what they kind of refer to as the first domino with these free agent tackles right now falling. Where does Okung sign and what falls out from there? But isn't, you know, when you talk about Jacksonville, aren't they set at tackle over there?
Well, they have Luke Jokel, but his play's been – I mean, obviously he's a high draft pick, but his play's been really poor. And, I don't know every team in depth. Obviously the Jets, it seemed like they could be okay at left tackle with Ferguson there. So it just – I'm not sure what's going on in Jacksonville, but they have a left tackle, but he isn't playing that well.
Yeah, just to me, there's just so many places right now. And I guess you can make an argument for Carolina. Mm. Maybe.
But I think that's what Detroit, maybe.
Yeah, Detroit. Didn't they bring in Okung? Mm. Well, anyway, that's the status of him. We got word this morning that Steve McClendon making a visit to New York to see the Jets over there, and that's probably not totally shocking, being as how they just lost their big run plugger a few days ago to the New York Giants. This is a guy you would think the Steelers want to re-sign, but they just don't want to overpay. And I think the next, I think by this week we'll have an answer on McClendon. And man, what happens if McClendon does sign elsewhere?
Right, it's an awkward situation because they're really, the nose tackle market isn't great, and you're trying to find a nose tackle today that can move. You know, your very specific type of nose tackle. But I totally get McClendon going to the Jets. I looked up the stat, and just you know, they're different players, of course. But Harrison, the nose tackle, who, like you said, Dave, went to the Giants. He played, I think, 52% of the time last year. McClendon in Pittsburgh played about 34% of the time. And the report is, you know, playing time's an issue for him because he knows he's not going to get to play a lot in Pittsburgh with all the sub package that they run. So the chance for playing time is a lot better in New York, and I could totally understand him bolting.
Do you remember what the numbers were on Harrison signing?
And then with the Giants?
Right.
It was a big deal. It was. I don't know the specifics, but McClendon's not going to even touch any of those numbers.
Right, and I can't remember. Where did I have McClendon slated? $3.5 million?
I think it was like a three, because it was what Guyon was kind of the deal you were modeling it after, like a 3-year, $11 million deal, roughly.
Right, right. And I believe that's his market value.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So,
what's your gut right now on McClendon?
My gut is that, I mean, I've been wrong a lot, so I'm trying to figure this all out. But my gut is that he goes somewhere else because he wants to play. He's 30 years old. He wants to play in the NFL. He's been, you know, counted out so much in his career as a UDFA, and he just wants to play football.
I think he's another one that ultimately re-signs. Look over the past history too. I mean, the Steelers just don't lose a lot of free agents to other teams, you know?
Yeah, but they don't always hit the market and start visiting teams either.
Right, right. But I mean, I think we feel good that we'll have an answer on both those guys. You know, and here's the thing: if you lose McClendon, then guys like Billings really become attractive to you, more mm-hmm. attractive to you in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
We both agree that we're not McCullers fans to this point, right?
Yeah, that's a big no there.
So let's see who else is making the rounds. Terrence Garvin visited the Redskins. He also, let's see, I think visiting the Titans mm-hmm. today. I think he'll run into Antoine Blake there in Tennessee today. Antoine Blake also reportedly visiting the Patriots and has maybe possibly a few other free agent visits lined up as well too. Who else is making the rounds that we forgot?
Sean Spence was in Miami. He's a Miami boy, born there, played there, so that would make a lot of sense. I think he left without a contract. Jason Jones was also in Miami, who the Steelers have shown interest in. I think that's the Boykin market's been really quiet. Not sure what's going on there. Casey Hayward, Mukamura have all signed, so Boykin would really kind of be one of the top corners left. So you think his market would start to heat up soon. I think that's the major names.
Let's see. Obviously, people won't be too terribly upset if Blake or guys like Garvin sign elsewhere. There might be a few people upset if Sean Spence ends up elsewhere. Realistically, I can't see any of those three guys signing for much more than the minimum, to be honest. You know, maybe Spence, right? But I mean, even then, he just don't have. He just hasn't played the snaps.
Mm-hmm. And I just think his tape is just average. And of course, the whole story of him coming back from the knee injury is very admirable. But I mean, he's just...
See, that's where we get attacked, you know, on Twitter. Is people say, I can't believe, you know, people fell in love with the player and the story more without watching the tape.
Right. But honestly, the one that would bother me the most is Terrence Garvin, because that's just the core special teamer. I think he's one of your best coverage guys. And if you know, if you lose Spence, which I'm okay with, but if you lose him and you lose Garvin, now your inside linebacker depth is really thin, and our special teams unit has taken, I think, a pretty substantial hit. It's a lot of snaps that you're losing, you know, and you heard about it last year, Danny Smith talking about it when Garvin got hurt for that time. You know, that's a guy that you don't replace with one player. You had to use multiple guys to replace because Garvin played on every unit but field goals. So special teamers, they come and they go, and that's the process. But it's not always an automatic layup that you're going to find another guy that can do those similar things, at least not right away. So I would love to get Garvin back, but it sounds like he's going to go elsewhere.
Let's see here. Kind of back to the tail end of the Martavis Bryant thing. people wasted no time on Twitter telling me that the Steelers need to re-sign Mike Wallace now that he's been freed up to by the Vikings. How do you feel about that suggestion?
I'm like you. I think it's easy to say. It might be kind of fun to think about, but just watch Mike Wallace the last couple of years. I know he was in Minnesota that doesn't have a real vertical attack, but I'm okay without Mike Wallace. He's not going to make or break this team, and I'm good.
Yeah, people are split right down the middle on that one, and I'm on that side too. I wouldn't even bother kicking his tires because, heck, what did you draft Sammy Coates for? You have look, do you want a receiver that's fast that can drop some passes? They have one in Darius Hayward Bay, yeah. And plus he'll give you special team snaps. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get any special team snaps out of Mike Wallace. Mm-hmm. Now, should an injury happen? You know, during the off-season program, something along those lines, and Mike Wallace is still out there on the streets. Well, maybe you consider him at that point. But right now, I there's just no way I can get on board with that.
I think he goes to Baltimore and they just have 10 pass interference plays a game to get their yards with Flacco. I think that's probably the game plan.
Yeah, and they reportedly are going to, I think, have him in. Let's see. This is the time of year by the fifth day of the new league year where teams generally normally have to pay players roster bonuses that were included in their contract. The Steelers have two such players on their roster, Cameron Hayward and Marquise Pouncey. That day was supposedly Sunday. We will know within probably 48 hours whether or not either of those two guys had those roster bonuses along with a portion of their base salaries in 2016 turned into signing bonuses and, in other words, restructured. Just because it hasn't been reported yet doesn't mean that it's that it hasn't happened. But we will know very, very quickly if it will. In my opinion, look, I mean, you didn't have many options to restructure, and this team is going to need some more money at some point. Mm-hmm. So, I think they probably restructured one of the two. You obviously would like to make it through this offseason, you know, definitely not doing Ben if you can help it. Mm-hmm. I think Hayward is the safest between him and Pouncey to restructure. And then, of course, on top of it, as we talked about all offseason, you would think there's something they could do with Timmons' number via an extension. And, of course, later on, David DeCastro's number will come down via an extension as well, too. But we'll know by the end of this week what happened with or if something did indeed happen with Cam Hayward and Marquise Pouncey. As of where the team is cap-wise, I think the NFLPA has them right around $3.5 million under. That, of course, does not take into account the roster bonuses, the projected roster bonus amounts of over $500,000, nor does it take into account the projected veteran cap credit payback we expect the Steelers to have. That's just over $1.1 million this season. So, if you subtract all that out, you basically have a team that's a little more than $2 million under the cap. So you're going to need just under $2 million under the cap to accommodate your draft picks this year. Whatever else comes, this team likes to usually keep a $2.5 to $3 million buffer mm-hmm. in salary cap space as well too. So we'll see is what I'm saying about these restructures. I will not be surprised if we learned about that today.
I mean, if they don't, how surprised will you be if they haven't done anything? Because I kind of talked to you before we started free agency, and we kind of figured Timmons would get done, and maybe someone else would get restructured.
I thought for sure some sort of restructure would have been done, and not counting Timmons in that. Right. I thought, look, the bank of Ben always seems to be open, and after that, Cameron Hayward's contract is the ripest for a restructure. I will be look, and kudos to them if they're able to get through all this without doing any restructure. That's the hope we all have.
Right.
But I just didn't, I don't know how feasible, or I didn't think it would be as feasible as, you know, doing that, because you're only going to be able to free up, you know, so much, like right around $5 million, I think it is, with Timmons, if you're able to get him extended with a, with no new money. DeCastro, you know, there's a limited amount of money there. I know people are probably screaming at their iPhone or however you download this podcast right now, would just release Cortez Allen. Well, look, yeah, that's always been a possibility that he could later on be a June 1st cut. But what if he rebounds and you don't cut him? You know, and I know there's the talk about the pay cut and all like that, but we haven't seen that on paper yet as far as that goes. So here's the thing everybody should be happy about right now. The Steelers are cap-wise are in the best position we've seen them in geez, what, 7, 8 years, maybe longer?
Yeah, and I think you should get to pat yourself on the back too, True and Horn here, because remember all the reports about the Steelers are in terrible cap space, they're in the red, and the sky is falling, and it seems okay to me.
You know what they say, women lie, math doesn't.
And it's Friday, so yeah, take a lap, Dave.
There you go. Look, I mean, it's like I've talked with David several times, this isn't really rocket science. I mean, you have a spreadsheet here, and it's not like these numbers are made a secret. You know, all of these contract numbers eventually come out. You know, just knowing how the cap works and moving forward from there. I mean, it really is a quite simple process. It's not like there's surprises, you know, that we know about. Sure, the numbers that I track might not, you know, all 74 of them might not be to the penny, but I guarantee you they're, you know, 95% of them are. And, you know, I never believe that, you know, and look, I love Ed Buschetta, I read his stuff every day, and he's great at what he does, but somebody fed him some bad information, in my opinion, about the salary cap, because obviously there's no way this team would have been able to function the way they functioned so far during this offseason had they been exactly where Ed said they were. What else do we have to talk about here?
I think we've gone through a lot of the free agents. I think we've run through everybody that they've brought in. Do you think, if you had to guess, and these are just going to be complete guesses at this point, what free agents that have visited do they get, or do they not get anybody? I mean, so you have Okung, you have Harris and Harrison and Jason Jones, and I think that's all of them. So
my favorite phrase on Twitter or on the podcast is, I'll be shocked if so and so happens. I will be shocked if any of the players that have come in for a visit right now, or even scheduled with a visit as of right now, sign. I think Beecham's going to end up re-signing, to be quite honest with you. Moving forward, we know how this team likes to work. As far as is, you know, after the first week is done, they like to bring in these lower tiered guys and sign them to very, very cheap deals. So I think you could see a guy. How's Patrick Robinson still on the market, right?
Yeah, and the cornerback group is getting kind of thin, so he's kind of rising to one of the top guys left.
So I'm not going to say that's going to happen. I'm just saying that this is a guy that they brought in last year at this time. Obviously, he's not going to sign somewhere for the minimum. I think he showed and earned more than that, but I don't think he's going to get. You know, when you look at what Casey Hayward signed for, obviously Patrick Robinson's probably market value is under $4 million, right?
Yeah, I thought Hayward got a little bit less than I thought he would get. He got around $5 million, so everyone else has got to come in under that. So I think $3.5 million for Robinson sounds about right.
Yeah, so we'll have to watch that. I mean, the list is dwindling quick about, you know, people who would you know, you would think go after him. Where's Brandon Boykin's market value now?
That's a very good question.
And even though, with that said, I don't see Brandon Boykin coming back.
Yeah, that bridge got burned.
Yeah, I know he says all the right things. I just don't see that him coming back. So with that said, I think you could see a guy like maybe Patrick Robinson brought in for a visit. Didn't they have interest in Sterling Moore? Has Sterling Moore re-signed yet? Have you seen anything on him?
I was just going to bring that up. I looked it up. No, Tampa Bay let him go. He's a free agent. I think that could make a lot of sense.
you know, that's a guy that, that you could bring in on a probably a 1 year, you know, minimum deal. Mm-hmm. So, and those are the kind of the guys that, that the Steelers like, and obviously they had interest in him last offseason, just as they did with Patrick Robinson. It'll be interesting to see. There was a talk about Jason Jones. Do we know if Jason Jones is visiting or not yet?
I thought the report was that he had visited, and then he left, and he also went to Miami and left. So
I couldn't remember if they actually did bring him in, or they thought there was a report that they would bring him in. I could see maybe the longer, you know, probably not signing him initially, but if he stayed on the street, mm-hmm. I could see possibly something happening with him. Let's see. It just says that they've expressed interest.
Okay.
Was the latest report from Jeremy Fowler. I have not seen where they have Jason Jones scheduled. Have you seen anything where they have him scheduled to come in?
No, you're right, Dave. It looks like it's just interest, whatever exactly that means.
Yeah, and the Steelers probably have interest in a lot of players.
Yeah, exactly.
But I could possibly see something there with him. I threw out the name Raheem Moore several weeks ago, a street free agent right now. Who do you have your eye on?
Well, I mean, I've talked about the guys that I would like to sign, and, you know, I won't talk about them much more unless something actually happens. You know, again, this is just my guess, but I think that they end up bringing in either one of Harris or Hairston to compete for that left tackle spot. I think Okun goes somewhere else. I think Beecham goes somewhere else. And so I think they kind of make that lower tier tackle move, and that's what they bring in. And I would like to see a Jason Jones, too, so that wouldn't surprise me either.
Who is the other guy that we kind of talked about? You still have hope for the Jets defensive end?
Oh, Dusable. I mean, that's my white whale on Moby Dick over here. So, I mean, maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, there's never been any reported interest of it at the very least.
Right. But, I mean, I don't think they're done. I just think they're done with the bigger names.
Yeah, I mean, and most of the bigger names are drying up anyway. We're getting into that middle low tier like we've talked about.
We're getting into the $1.5 million to $2 million a season range right now, unless they were to sign a guy like Okung where do you have Ryan Harris's value at?
I mean,
$3 million a season? Is it that high?
You would know it better than I would, and I don't really even know the pulse, because not a lot of these tackles have signed, right? So it's kind of hard to gauge the market for it, right?
Yeah, and man, I would rank Ryan Harris, of course, over Harrison, mm-hmm. the Chargers free agent,
yeah.
Easily, in my opinion. So, what else do we have? We're purposely avoiding draft talk today because we want to get back to that after free agency is over here. I'm trying to look and see if we missed anything.
Well, I just wanted to ask, to reiterate, the Steelers got a 6th-round compensation for Bryce McCain. No 7th-round comp picks for the draft this year. That obviously seemed intentional by the NFL, but is that a permanent thing? It sounds like where they're not going to give out 7th-round compensation picks anymore.
You know, I wish I had the formula.
Yeah.
that was attached to that. I think originally, in some post last offseason after free agency ended, I threw out there that I'd like the chances of maybe the Steelers getting a 6th round for Bryce McCain, and I was whipped horribly for suggesting such a thing, that 7th round was the way it was going to be. I wish I had an answer for a rhyme for reason of why no teams got a 7th round compensatory pick. I'll take the 6, right?
Yeah, no, that makes me happy. And see, the Steelers have 7 picks overall. Obviously, you're still missing a 5th. But, you know, and that 6th round comes at the very end of the 6th round, which obviously is a compensatory pick. And just for the record, you cannot trade them this year. Next year starts the trading of compensatory picks. But, yeah, that was a good piece of news to come along the wire.
And technically, what that's that compensatory in the 6th round is how many picks away from what their pick would have been that they traded for Josh Scobie? What, about 11 or 12 at most away?
Yeah, I think this is pick 220 overall. So if you reverse engineer it, to steal your phrase, and look back at what Jacksonville has, I'm sure it's not more than 15 picks away though.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, you took the risk. It didn't work out with Josh Scobie. And look, you got a great young kicker in Chris Boswell. So, in my opinion, you know, no more crying over that milk anymore. Now, obviously, the fifth round pick, you'd like to have that one as well, too. But, you know, go ahead.
Did you hear that Boykin put the tinfoil hat on and was talking about the playing time, the escalator and the draft pick as a reason why he wasn't playing?
Yeah, I wrote that whole thing
up.
Yeah,
you did. Good job. Yeah, you found that interview.
I found that interview, and he shot as straight as the hip, I guess. I mean, he's under the impression that play time had a lot to do with it, but as you and I have pointed out several times, the math just doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm. Right, because he could have been playing a lot earlier and wouldn't touch that, 60%, you know?
Right, and what did he end up playing, 20?
A quarter, I think, of the time, maybe.
A quarter of the playing time. So, and he played a lot from, what week was that Colts game? Was that 13 or 14, 12, 13 or 14, right around in there?
Yeah.
But, I mean, he played quite a bit from that point forward. Now, here's the thing I need to ask Joel Corey about next time I talk to him. I can't remember if percentage of snaps, of total snaps, includes playoffs or not.
My guess is no, just to keep it even, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, my guess would be it doesn't. And if that's the case, he played even a lower percentage, right?
Oh, let me. I have the Football Outsiders up because looked it up the McClendon and the Jets numbers, so I'll just pull up and look at their stat real quick because I don't have the Excel chart to sift through.
Yeah, but that goes all the way through the playoffs, though, right?
Yeah, but you can sort it so away it won't count the regular season or won't count the playoffs.
I thought you had to either go all or I didn't know you could go by weeks on it.
If you hit the all button, it only counts the regular season as considered all. You'd have to go specifically through the rest of the weeks for the playoffs. So he played in the regular season. He played 24.7% of the defensive snaps, so right around that quarter.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, like we said, he wasn't even close on that. Look, I understand why he has a bad taste in his mouth. Certainly didn't help his free agent market value. I still thought it would have been higher. What did I have him pegged at, $5 or $6 million?
Yeah, I thought the corners would get paid a little bit more. You know, Janoris Jenkins cashed in, but once now that Hayward number is hit and he's just over $5 million per year, and he was the best corner on the market, everyone else has got to come under that. So now you're thinking Boykin probably in that $4 million range.
Boy, half of maybe what I thought he wind up making there. Okay, we'll have to see how free agency plays. Oh, Dak Prescott. Boy, another, you just hate to see guys do this to themselves prior to the start of the draft. For those of you that didn't hear, Dak Prescott was arrested bright and early, I think Saturday morning, charged with a DUI. The only reason we're kind of talking about him here is the Steelers have shown quite a bit of interest in him dating back to the combine. They met with him at the combine. I think Randy Feitner was at his pro day, which was a couple of days prior to him getting arrested, and there was a report that Randy Feitner, along with maybe a few other quarterback coaches, even requested that Dak Prescott do some extra throwing afterwards. So where there's smoke, I think there's a little bit of fire there. So now the question is what's it going to do to Prescott's draft stock and have the Steelers ripped his name completely off the board? I think the answer to the first question is I don't know. And I think the answer to the second one is I don't believe they have ripped his name completely off the board.
No, I don't think either. I think it would almost be a little reckless to do that. You know, you want to look at each situation, you know, case by case. You want to talk to Dak. He released a statement about it, you know, which wasn't – it was kind of cliche, but it wasn't – you know, there was you could tell it was his own message. He said he wouldn't ask for forgiveness. He would work to earn that forgiveness back. You know, you just want to see if there's a history and there's a pattern with these guys. One-time incidents, everybody makes mistakes. You don't condone it in any way. And Prescott, I think, had a coaching camp with a bunch of kids the next day, which makes it, I think, even worse if you're out that late and drinking and things like that. I know that Prescott had some sort of incident where he got into a fight a year or two ago at a concert or something like that. So there is a couple other red flags that come up. So, just everything is a case-by-case basis, and you need to sit there and talk to the guy. I don't believe it takes him off anyone's board, but it's something that has to be investigated and definitely is into consideration.
True or false? The Steelers will bring Dak Prescott in for a pre-draft visit.
True, because I think it's a great time to sit down and talk to him about this DUI and really get you, now you really want to get to know the man, and that's a great opportunity is to go into your environment and have a whole day with a guy to really figure out kind of you know who he is, because you know some of these guys, I mean of course you want to talk to as many guys as you can, but some of them you probably learn as much as you're going to know about him. I mean you can bring in like Josh Garnett, but you already know a lot about Josh Garnett. You don't have to find out about who he is. Much more. A guy like Prescott, you might want to do a little bit more digging.
I think they bring him in as well, too. I'm starting to get to the feeling that they're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, me too. And I don't like that feeling. I'm trying to repress it, trying to forget about that feeling.
And I got a feeling if Dak Prescott is on the board in the fourth round. I'm seriously considering, I mean, moving forward of including one in every mock draft that I do. So, and I hope to have my next one out sometime this week as well, too. I'm a little bit behind on some things, but, I don't want to, but, we try to make these mocks, or at least I do when I do mine, I try to make them, I try to make my mocks what I think the Steelers will do, not what I would do. Mm-hmm. So look for that later this week, and probably expect a quarterback to be included with it as well too. Quite a few player profiles going up on the site today. Tell us a little bit about Marquise Williams.
Well, he was a guy that I did put in my last mock as a seventh round flyer because the Steelers have shown interest in mobile quarterbacks, but after watching the tape and really kind of finding out about him, I'm just not a fan. I mean, you know, he's a big, tough guy that'll stand tall in the pocket, and was very productive at North Carolina. But I mean, just the inaccuracy was terrible. I mean, he'd missed so many gimme throws. It wasn't even funny how inconsistent he was, and making some bad decisions and having trouble processing information, especially against zone coverage. I mean, he's an undrafted free agent for me. I wouldn't even draft him. Luke did a really good profile on Dan Vitale, the fullback, kind of H-back out of Northwestern. But, I mean, this guy tested off the charts. I mean, I think he could really be a guy that has a staying power in the league. He's not your traditional kind of lead blocker, and I kind of look at him like the way that Brian Leonard was, who came out of Rutgers, that tested well and was with Cincinnati and I think Tampa Bay for a little bit and kind of carved out a niche in his career. So, yeah, we have a lot of great information coming up. I think we have some stuff on Vernon Adams and Paul Perkins coming in soon and Dean Lowry from Northwestern. So, yeah, and I think we're rocking through the reports. I think we're up over 60. Last thing I want to tell or ask you about, Dave, before we wrap things up, I don't know if you saw because it got swept under the Martavis Bryant news, but did you see the story Mike Mitchell told about Jordan Zumwalt?
Yeah, that was quite entertaining that Mike Tomlin called him a money pit.
Man, that is harsh.
That's cold blooded,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's just you gotta love Coach Tomlin.
It's true, but
yeah. And then somebody asked though that if Jordan Zumwalt's a money pit, what does that make Cortez Allen? And that kind of that made me laugh a little bit. What does he call Cortez Allen?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Look, it's not much of a hope, but I've never been a you know, since Zumwalt was drafted, I've never been a Zumwalt fan. I still think he's going to have, even if this team loses Sean Spence and Terrence Garvin, it's really going to be an uphill battle, I think, for Zumwalt to make this roster this year. And on the flip side, I might be one of the few people left that has some sort of a glimmer of a hope for Cortez Allen. It's not much, obviously, but you know, we have seen better from him on the field, and this obviously will be his last shot. He's going to have to win his job back during training camp, and if he doesn't, he's obviously going to be a post June 1st. Cut right before the start of the season there. So definitely interesting to watch there. And yeah, right now you got some money sunk in both those guys for sure. All right, Alex, I appreciate you sitting in for David today. Probably not going to be a podcast on Wednesday. Either David and I will get after it again on Friday. And if David can't, Alex will probably be there to sit in for him as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex_Kazora. You can follow David, my co-host, David at David M. Todd. on Twitter. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com and hit the donate button in the top navigational bar at the top of the site there. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.